6, verse report. But as we do, stand in union with Him and in union with Christ, decree from a place, not towards a place, but from a place in Christ, then the Holy Spirit will own that which we decree in faith or declare in faith or confess in faith, and He will be manifest without measure, bringing to pass in this realm what already exists in the heavenly realm. All right? Now, the second one, to me, is, I don't know if it's more prevailing, but it's certainly more insidious. This is 1 John chapter 3, verse 19. We shall know by this that we are of the truth, and shall assure our heart before Him. And whatever our heart condemns us, for God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Now I want you to understand that. That no matter what you're feeling or thinking on the inside, if it contradicts the truth, what God says is true about a situation or circumstance or true about you, God's greater than your reasoning. God's greater than your feelings. Beloved, he says, verse 21, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. If our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. So one of the great thieves of confident faith is condemnation. And the key is going to be is to understand that, but also what do you do about it? Because if your heart's condemning you, he says God's greater than your heart. What can we believe that God says so that when we get in the battle of condemnation, we're able to stop and give heaven's report even about us and confess heaven's report about us so that the God who's greater than our heart will trump our heart, which is trying to condemn us, which robs our confidence before the Lord. Haven't you found that to be true experientially? If you're walking under the cloud of condemnation, it's impossible to believe God for big things because you just feel like you've been disqualified. Do you have a right to walk in that kind of extravagant and bold faith? That you don't deserve it? That you're too guilty? So let's turn to the verse that all of us know. But it's so easy for none of us to really walk in. It's actually easy to tell somebody else this verse when they're going through a hard time of condemnation. But it's so hard to apply it to our own lives. But remember that scripture we just got through reading. If your heart condemns you, God is greater than your heart. And if our heart doesn't condemn us, we have confidence before God. So there's got to be something that you and I believe that's truth. It may contradict everything you feel and everything you think. Just the thing that you've got to cling to and declare and decree. Because as you do, the Holy Spirit will also manifest that into your own personal experience. Eventually, your emotions will give way to the truth. Because it's the truth that does what? Sets us free. Alrighty? This is Romans chapter 8. Verse 1. There is, therefore, now, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, don't think about that as a theological expression again. He's talking about your union with Christ. You've been placed in the person of Christ, and now Christ is your life. And we live from that truth and that reality. And every other thing that we think and do about in terms of believing God for stuff, believing God in stuff, believing God about ourselves has to move to the grid that you're in Christ. That Christ is your life. That's how God sees you, because that's what's true. We have to begin to see ourselves in that light of that also. It's so difficult at times because we're consumed with the fear of the visible, so we get consumed with our weakness, our inadequacy. the multitude, when it seems like all we've got are 5 loaves and 2 fish. We are governed by our past experience, and I can't have victory over this because look how much I've failed. It can't be true that I died to that sin because I've given into that sin so many times. So the fear of the visible, the evidence of the visible, can so rob us. It is simply because we don't really understand, we're not standing on, resting in who we are in Christ, and believing from His perspective. Putting on the mind of Christ that you have. And from that place, from heaven's perspective, up down we live, not down up. Not down up begging for things to be. Not hoping things will, believing things might, but proclaiming and trusting that things are what heaven says is true. Alrighty? But this says that there is therefore, now, wasn't true before, but now, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So, hear me. I was trying to think of some analogy, but if I drive down the road and having transitioned in to senior status. Well, I can give you an example. We were coming back that time from Miami when we spoke a couple years ago, almost 3 years ago. And it got to be nighttime and the roads were weird. And I told you the story, and I turned left before I should have, and I went down into the cement gully and drove through it and popped back up on the road. Now, thank God a policeman wasn't watching. I can only imagine what everybody else around was thinking. But if a policeman had been watching, he'd probably turn me over and say, well, how much alcohol, sir, have you been drinking? Have you had? I said, there's no alcohol in me. Well, you have alcohol in the car. There's no alcohol in this car. And so, well, every evidence I have says that you've been drinking. Nobody in their right mind, sober, drives like that. And I'll go, there is no alcohol in here. I don't care what you think, what you say. There's none. In Christ, condemnation does not exist as a reality. It doesn't say I hope there isn't. It doesn't say it shouldn't be. It says, if you're in Christ, in that realm, in that sphere of reality, condemnation doesn't exist. The only way you can come under condemnation is if the enemy can pull your head out of that reality and you start thinking as if you were still the old man who lived under condemnation. So that's hard to believe. Because I feel condemnation, you say all the time. But it's a lie from the enemy. It's not coming. It can't come from God. Because you live in a sphere and a realm called in Christ, and in that sphere and realm there is no condemnation. Like, but what if you do something terrible? There's no condemnation in Christ. There's conviction, there's correction, there may be discipline. There's no condemnation. Now take that one out for a spin in your emotions and dare to believe that that's true. And he goes on and he says, this is the reason. There's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, because that's where you're at, has set you free from the law of sin and death. So you live under a different principle, a different reality now, a different law. The law of sin and death is that you are under the law. And under the law, failure are always required, always results in condemnation. But you've been moved out of that now. You've now died to the law, and you're now in Christ, and the new law called the law of Spirit of life prevails. And that life isn't about failure and offering sacrifices to get out from under condemnation. That's about the fact that there's no condemnation. Therefore, this is all about life and transformation. So does he convict? Yes. Does he correct? Yes. But it's never about condemnation. It's always about life. Life is about growth. Death, people don't, once you're dead, you don't grow anymore. The law of life has set you free from the law of sin and death. Sin always results in death. When you're not in Christ, because you're under the condemnation of the law. But life is fruitful, right? Life matures. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. Now hear this. For what the law could not do, the demands of the law on you to be a righteous person could not do, weak as it was to the flesh. It's not that there's something wrong with the law. The law is perfect. Problem is that we weren't and aren't. What the law could not do, weak as it was to the flesh, God did, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh as an offering for sin. He condemned sin. The Father condemned sin in the flesh. Whose flesh? Jesus's. You see, here's the thing about God. He condemns sin and the sinfulness of man. Hear His heart now. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in Him would stop perishing. The word perish, again, means ruined, spoiled. They would stop ruining and spoiling their life. We were His masterpiece. You and I were created to contain His image, carry His image, and reveal His likeness. But because of the fall, the enemy's come to kill, steal, to destroy. That's his mode of operation. That's his plan. Jesus said, but I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. You can't walk in abundant life if you live under condemnation. So what happens when I blow it? If you have a heart for Him, if you've allowed grace to do its work in you, and if you're born again, you do have a heart in Him, and you'd long to not sin. If you have a heart for Him, and you sin, He will convict. There may even be tears and sorrow. There may even be restitution. But it's all about growth. It's all about fruitfulness. It's all about transformation. It's now a different kind of law. It's a law of Spirit of life, not a law of sin and death. Because what happened with Jesus, God condemned sin. But He wanted us to be free. And if He had carried out the condemnation of sin on us, we could have never been changed. But He wanted us to be new creations. And so He poured out the condemnation of your sin on Christ. You actually died in Christ. Doesn't it say that in Romans 6? Galatians 2? Colossians 3? That in His person, you went to the place of punishment. You went to the place of execution. And in the person of Christ, the sin that you carried was condemned in His flesh. He bore the condemnation for everybody's sin. And for God the Father to want to condemn you in Christ after that would be an insult to what His Son did on the cross. See, here's the problem is, so many of us for so many years, even in the church, have been so manipulated by our parents, by our friends, or by preachers and teachers in the church, we think that's normal. That's how I've been motivated to behave. And therefore, for somebody to tell you what I'm telling you sounds, that can't be true. No, but you never do anything right. You couldn't do it right before. You were doing it right on the outside, but you were doing it wrong on the inside. You were standing up on the outside and sitting down on the inside. That's not holiness. He took the condemnation. The Father condemned sin in the flesh. In the person of Jesus. And He rose from the dead. He was the firstborn from among the dead. And we rose again from the dead as new creations. And because you're in Christ, if He can't condemn Him, He can't condemn you because you're in Christ. In order that he condemns in the flesh, that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. The requirements of the law all got met in Christ. Condemnation does not exist in Christ. Now, that's good news on several levels. 2 Corinthians 5:21, Sam saying this, not this verse, but all these principles that chorus she was singing. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we might be the righteousness of God in Christ. Oh, hear this one. 1 John 15. By this, love is perfected with us so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. What? There's that word confidence. Because as he is, so also are you in this world. There is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. Because you're in Christ, you're perfected in love. God loves you just as much as he loves Jesus. That's what it says in John 15. That's what it says in John 17. He loves you, and you're in Christ. So he loves you like he loves Jesus. He loves you as if you were Jesus. He loves you in Jesus. He loves you in Christ. He sees you in union with the righteousness of Christ. That may contradict your experience, but it doesn't contradict the way he sees you. One of the things about Livia used to tell me as a counselor, because Livia always liked to counsel, the crazier the person was, the better she liked them. And I can testify to that. She even married into that. She sewed into that in her marriage. But Livia's whole thing was, she didn't just see who you were, she always could see who you could become. She didn't just see what you were doing. She saw who you really were and who you could become experientially. That's like our Father. Condemnation studs growth. Condemnation promotes self-effort and flesh stuff. He doesn't do it to us. We've got to quit doing it to each other. We do it to control people. Let me just say this. God's not petty like we are. He doesn't need to do that to control people. Because this is the other thing I want to show you. Is that an amen to those things? Listen to that. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. It's not in that realm. If you're hearing condemnation, it's not in Christ's realm. And you're in Christ. It's not a new creation thing. Romans 2:4 says this. Or do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? Do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? What did Jesus come to reveal to the Jewish people who saw God as the heavenly perfectionist? Jesus would heal on the Sabbath. He would do all these kind of things. And he even said to them, when he healed this one man, he said, God doesn't desire. When they picked the grains on the Sabbath, he and his disciples, and the Jews got mad because it broke the law. And Jesus said, God desires compassion, not sacrifice. They're hungry. And he's more concerned that their hunger got fed than your silly rules got kept. Because what Jesus revealed over and over again is who the Father was really like. That you have a Heavenly Father, and your Father is kind. Many of you grew up, I grew up as a Methodist, so I didn't know anything. I didn't learn anything bad or good. They're great Methodist churches, but I didn't. good fellowship suppers, I learned about that. But many of you grew up in cultures and spiritual sort of environment where God was not presented as somebody kind at all. I'm not telling you that kindness is something that God can be when He wants to be. What I'm telling you is His nature is that He's a kind person. You do know God's a person, right? He's not a human, but He is a person. He's a kind person. So we would say, but Jesus revealed that He's good. But it's not just that He's good in the sense that He likes to do good things for us. Let's take it beyond that. There's this goodness in Him. And the word kind means more to me. You've said something to people before, hey, that's just really, he's just a kind, or she's just a kind person. And so all of you know what that means. God the Father is a really kind person. But He had condemnation towards sin. And that condemnation had to be taken care of. Because He had kind intentions towards you He couldn't pour out until that was taken care of. And He loved you so much that instead of Him pouring out the wrath on you, He condemned your sin in the flesh of Jesus. That's pretty flipping kind. Hear me again. It broke His heart to see humanity being spoiled. God's on the word, so we wouldn't love the world. So we'd stop spoiling our humanity. He so loved the world, the whole world, lost world too. Everybody was lost before the cross in a sense. He loved the world that He gave so we'd stop ruining. He loved us so much. But He had condemnation and wrath towards sin, and the condemnation and wrath had to be poured out. But He loved you so much, instead of you having to take it, He stepped out of eternity in the time, took on humanity, and poured out condemnation on Himself. Just for you. Because He's so kind, He went to an extreme measure to remove any barrier that would keep Him from manifesting His kind intentions towards you and me. I'm going to read some verses to you kind of quick, and then we'll wrap it up. This is Luke 36:35. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for He Himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men. Remember when when Mephibosheth was brought by David? He'd been hiding out because he feared judgment. He feared condemnation. But in an Old Testament sense, he was in David. He was in Jonathan, his father. And so he brings him in, David brings him in, he says, I want to show you kindness because you're in Jonathan. You're in your father. And the king says, is there anyone left in the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God? It was the kindness of God he wanted to show. And then he told Mephibosheth, and he saw him, and Mephibosheth fell out in fear. Do not fear, for I will surely show the kindness of God to you. Because he earned it? Because he deserved it? No, because Jonathan had earned it and deserved it. Because Jesus earned it and deserved it. And you're in Him. Because Jesus satisfied all the requirements of the law. The wages of sin is what? It was your death that He took. You actually died in Him. So that you can now live in Him. This is Psalm 145:17. The Lord is righteous in all His ways and kind in all His deeds. Not most of them. I don't care. Whatever the thought may be coming to your head, it says kind in all His deeds. There's some other ones, but this is Ephesians. He predestined us, Ephesians 1:5, to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ Himself according to the kind intention of His will. Verse 9 of chapter 1, He made known to us the mystery of His will according to His kind intentions, which He purposed in Jesus. And now you're in Jesus. Chapter 2, verse 7, all He's done for us, salvation, is so that in the ages to come, He might show the surpassing riches of His grace and kindness towards us who are in Christ Jesus. Forever and forever, you already are now, forever and forever, through all of eternity, you're God's great trophy to all the angels and all the other creatures and whatever. You're God's great trophy of how kind He is. So let me just break it down. In light of what Christ did, all condemnation was poured out on Jesus. All wrath towards sin was poured out on Jesus. Because Father's heart loved the world so much, His heart, because He's kind, wanted that removed so He can manifest His kind intentions. It's the kindness of God that draws us to repentance. So here's the creamy center. Okay? The Oreo cookie. Here's the creamy center for me. It's not that when you sin, God gently draws you back. Doesn't beat you up. It's not mean. But He kindly draws you back. That's not what that means. What it means is that your understanding that the Father that you sinned against is kind. And because He's kind, you're motivated to go back. Because you're not going to fear condemnation and rejection. But you're going to experience the kindness of the prodigal son's father, who doesn't condemn, but who's so kind. And this is all about you changing and growing. He'll throw a party. All right, let me say it again. Because I've talked to some people about this last few weeks. Two glasses of spinach. Yeah, I know he does good things. I said, no. There's different. Yeah, he'll be kind to you. He'll draw you in by being nice to you. Come on, George. Come on, no. Come on, George. Come on, repent. No, that's not the deal. The deal is He's really a sweet God. And He's always kind. And because I've come to grips with that, it makes me want to repent. I'm not afraid, because I can't change without repentance. So it doesn't make me want to go sin some more. It makes me go, wow, I can, yes, I'm not afraid to say the truth that He already knows, because I'm going to encounter His kindness. Do you understand? May God give you revelation of what I just said. I believe it's a game changer. He's not a grumpy old father who just stays hacked off at you most of the time because you get it wrong. And he's just ready to tell you how bad you are. He puts up with you because he has no choice. But he's disappointed in you. And he's just kind of ornery. I mean, he's holy, right? So he has to be ornery. Now, you can't be holy and not be ornery, can you? Because people who are holy don't have fun. They're the only ones who do have fun. Now, I've been teaching this for you forever and forever. But I'm just telling you, that's been a fresh revelation to me. That's just gotten part of my brain. My mind's being transformed. Oh, wow. And it makes me not want to sin because He's so kind. Why would I want to hurt somebody that kind? But when I do, I know that Abba, my kind Father, He doesn't just act kind because He has the ability. He is kind. He is kindness. And He has kind intentions. Okay? In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's stand together.